and the background music of Larry Razavi and his out-of-town checks with our theme Musicians Come and Play means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. Our theme wrapping up right there. Yes, our 298th edition coming your way right now here on KASM. You're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of Central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on your FM dial, streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. As we broadcast from the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council studios, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, we are Chasm. And like I mentioned, it is our 298th program. We have our guest on the line. We're going to go to the phone line right now and bring her in and say good morning to Mary Lou Cerniak. How are you, Mary Lou?
Well, I'm pretty good on this fine Sunday morning. How are you?
Wonderful. And where are we speaking to you? Where do you make home?
I make home in Shoreview, Minnesota. It's a suburb of St. Paul.
Okay, awesome. Born and raised there, or where did you originate from?
I'm the youngest of 11 girls and 2 boys, born to Edward and Teresa Klisch, and we lived on a farm in Elmdale, Minnesota. A lot of your listeners maybe saw the big white house with the round barn.
Uh-huh.
And my brother Bob and his wife Laverne now own the farm, and we're happy to have it in the family.
Well, I guess so. That's wonderful. All right. And where'd you go to school then?
I went to elementary school right in Elmdale, and it's true, we had to walk the mile and a half to school and back every day.
Uphill both ways, too, right?
Yeah, and I graduated from Uppsala High School in 1969.
Uh-huh.
And after that, I met Billy at the Bellray Ballroom in Moundsview, Minnesota.
And the rest was history, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Now, music is in your blood, I'm sure. Where'd you get started? You must have enjoyed music and participated before you met Bill, huh?
Oh, sure. Matter of fact, my father had a polka band when he was young. My dad played concertina.
Uh-huh.
He had fiddle, saxophone, and the drummer was Tom Zeck from Elmdale, Minnesota.
Okay, and what did they call themselves?
I have no clue. I never did ask them.
Okay. And they played around the area, I'm sure, the small house parties, clubs, and things like that?
He always said that, he always told Billy and Tommy, who were in the polka industry, he says, you guys had it easy. He said, we didn't have any electronics, and we had to play out in the field all the time.
Oh, sure.
Okay. And that's how it was way back then.
So when did you first start in music then?
I started, I've always played piano, and three of my sisters and I took piano lessons at Sobieski's convent from Sister Evelyn.
Okay.
So we all started on piano, and then in the later years, three of my sisters, Karen, Jane, and Jean, started their own band. Karen played piano, Jane was on concertina, and Jeannie was on drums, and they had a small polka band.
Oh,
and then
goodness.
About 3-4 years later, Karen, well, after she got married, I should say, Karen started her own polka band. She had it for 7 years, and I believe the name of it was KLM, and she took the initials just from every member that she had. She played for 7 years on concertina.
Oh, goodness. What kind of concertina was she playing?
A Hengel.
A Hengel she had.
And an echo.
Wow, good, good. All right. So did you go on to any other school after high school at all?
No, I did not. We always had a job waiting for us in the Twin Cities area because mm-hmm. 5 of my sisters worked at the paper company called Horner Waldorf.
Oh, sure.
So Waldorf just said, whenever your sisters graduate, you know, come on, we got a job waiting for them.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So from the little town of Elmdale into the big cities, huh?
Yeah, we were shipped off at 18 to go live with our sisters,
uh-huh.
and they kind of showed us around the cities.
Oh, neat. And so then from there, you pretty much met Bill then, you said, huh?
I met Billy in 1969. I was a cheerleader in high school, and we got to go to the state basketball at the U of M.
Oh, sure.
I met him at the Bellary Ballroom. He was playing, I should back up. Yeah, he was playing with Tom Rosinski, and him were playing with Joel Tomaszewski and the Northeasterners at the time.
Oh, really? Wow.
So I actually met Billy before I graduated high school.
Uh-huh.
See, he had another girlfriend at the time, but you know how that goes sometimes.
Uh-huh. You took care of that one, huh?
Well, I guess I did because we were engaged that following November.
Ah, good for you.
We got married a year later in 1971.
Yeah, really, in 1971?
Excuse me, 1970.
70, okay, good.
Yeah.
And did you move in to the band right away then? Because you were a member of Polka Soul forever, right?
Yeah, first Billy played with Joe Thomas.
Uh-huh.
Then Billy went on to Tom Rosinski. And
okay.
The Rosinski brothers
started
their own band. So Billy followed Tommy into the Rosinski brothers. And then at the urging of Tommy, Billy and I started our own band in 1974.
In 74, okay.
Yep.
And that was called Polka Soul, or what were you called at first?
That was called Bill Cherniak and Polka Soul.
Okay. And you had it going up until the time of his death then?
We had Polka Soul going for, I imagine, 25 to 30 years, and then because it was kind of getting hard to find extra sidemen like trumpet players.
Sure.
That's when Billy started the concertina band.
So okay.
Then he had two concertinas, piano, and drums.
Oh, okay.
And that was up until his death, yes.
Okay, and when did Bill die?
Bill died in April of 2002.
Oh, boy, 17 years already.
Yes.
My goodness. And suddenly, or did he have an illness?
He had an illness. Billy had diabetes real bad.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And that just kind of destroys your body.
Yep, it does. I've known a number of people with that condition, and that's hard. So, children, did you guys have children?
Yes. Yes. We have three children. Jill is 43. She lives in Cleveland, Ohio. She is in human resources and payroll, and she's also a polka promoter out in Cleveland. She'll run a dance when bands are traveling, like from Michigan out to the East Coast. Jill will run a dance in Cleveland, Ohio, so that they can have another job.
Okay.
And then our adopted Katie is from Korea. She's 34.
Uh-huh.
She lives in St. Paul, and she's a social worker.
Okay.
And then my son Daniel lives with me in St. Paul, but he's my worst polka fanatic.
Oh, he is, huh?
Oh, man, he knows everybody.
He does. Oh, does he do any of the children play an instrument?
Well, Jill plays piano, clarinet, and a little concertina.
Uh-huh.
Katie played piano and clarinet in school, and Daniel is downstairs with the drums.
Okay, awesome.
Blasting polka music every night.
All right. So backing up just a little bit, now we know you've got a beautiful voice, a wonderful voice, but did you also play an instrument?
I played saxophone in high school. I learned piano at the age of 5. And then when Billy and I started the band, he knew I could play a little bit concertina. So then he wrote some charts for him and I.
Okay.
But I have to tell you a little story about his writing.
Uh-huh.
You know, Billy was prolific on the concertina.
Yes.
Making all these runs. And I said, if you're going to have me play with you, you got to take out half those notes.
Yeah. So you can keep up, right?
I could barely keep up with the simple ones.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's awesome. Now, did you have work continuing then as you lived together, or did you guys make your living on polka music?
No, Billy was an electrical engineer for
okay.
then NSP.
Okay.
Now it's Excel.
Sure.
And he worked there for 40 years.
Oh, wow.
And I started at Horner Waldorf, and then I went on to work for Deluxe Czech Corporation for 24 and a half years, and
okay.
I retired last year.
Okay.
So there was a lot to do, and, you know, raising three kids, everybody knows that in the polka field.
Absolutely. With all the traveling and everything, it
yep.
gets to be a handful, that's for sure. Now, I don't know that we've ever met, but there's a good chance that we might have. Back in the days, Tony and Betty Wolf were good friends of the Cherniaks, And they always hosted a concertina display at the Granite City Coliseum, and it was always the last Sunday of January in the middle of winter. And as a youngster, I was a concertina student of Betty's, so this would have been back in the, oh golly, that would have been in the early 60s that I started taking lessons from her. And I remember her being so excited because she would always tell us, students, that, boy, you're going to see something. The Cerniacs are coming down from Duluth. And I believe they were all from Duluth at that time, huh?
That is correct.
Yeah.
And, you know, Joel and Martha Cherniak, Billy's parents,
okay,
they knew Tony and Betty from when Billy was 5 and 6 years old. So Billy met Tony and Betty when he first started on concertina at 5 and 6, because Joe and Martha would take all the kids and go to those Tony and Betty's concertina parties.
Yes, yes. And so I was only like second grade at the time, so I vaguely remember those guys, but I knew they were so talented. And of course, people in general just get really excited when they see somebody youthful really excelling, don't they?
Yep. They certainly do.
And that was the situation back then. When those guys would take the stage, oh my gosh, the people would just stand around and just really, really enjoyed it. Now, you probably, well, were you there at all? I mean, you probably didn't know the Cerniacs at the time.
No, although we went, you know, Dad and Mom took us polka dancing all over the place, you know, St. Anna, Little Falls, Bolas. But we never got to go too much to the concertina part of that.
Okay.
As far as growing up, but we were all over the place. Listening to the Langner sisters, I'll have you know.
Okay, yes. They were good friends of yours, huh?
Oh, they were. And what beautiful voices. You can't now, you know, you can't duplicate that because somebody told me, Eddie Blazoinczyk told me, he says, they recorded with Eddie Blazoinczyk, I believe, quite a few albums.
Yes,
he
they
said
did.
He never had a practice. They just came in that studio and they did their stuff.
Yeah, they were so rehearsed and so good. And their voices blended so good. The harmony was just perfect. So, they were a wonderful family. Folks are going to get to hear some of your music and your singing. And I told you earlier that your voice, your singing, reminds me so much of memory lapse here now. Anita Funicello. Annette Funicello. There we go. I'll get it out yet. You know, she was on the Mickey Mouse Club when we were kids growing up, and she had such a pure and genuine voice. It was so easy to understand. And as I listen to your music and your singing, I just find you so much the same. I think you would have had the same charisma and the same abilities, you know, had you been able to go to Hollywood and do what they did. I mean,
oh my.
Yeah. No, I'm very, very impressed. It's very, very good. And
thank you very much.
Must have been a really nice, what they would say, a nice ride those years that you and Bill had the band going, huh?
Well, you know, I never started singing. I only sang after we started our band in 1974. My first vocal, as a matter of fact, on stage with Billy was the Honey Bee Waltz by Betty Wolfe.
Okay.
And then, of course, months later, then I started singing a little Polish with the help of a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
And Red Shoes is one of my favorite, Red Shoes Polka, but I still can't sing it like Larry Trojak of Main Squeeze.
Uh-huh.
I try.
Okay. And you were up in this country just recently. Was it last weekend, I hear, that you were up in Bolas?
Yeah, Bolas Days.
The fun days over there.
Bolas Fun Days. Like I said, my grandparents, Vincent and Anna Klisch, owned half of that town at one time.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
The liquor store, the gas station, etc.
And you know some very well-known people in the polka music. Some fellows like Gene Retka and Craig Ebel were up there with you, I understand.
That is correct. And Gene Retka and his son, Michael, they're so talented and such nice people, I tell you. And then I also grew up with the likes of Jerry Schoft, you know, Elmer Scheid, The Jolly Fishermen were some more. Laverne and the Starlights.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Langner Sisters, like I mentioned before. And also I'd like to shout out to Jim Lampert from Little Falls.
Oh, yes, you bet. Well,
and
great.
I'd like to congratulate Jerry Bischbach, I believe, is going into the Concertina Hall of Fame this fall.
Oh, really? Wow, that's awesome, too. Yes, Jerry has been just a steady performer all the time, really talented on that concertina.
You got it.
You bet.
And that gal that he has singing, I don't know her name.
Joyce Mouse.
She's got a beautiful voice.
Joyce is the wife of Gilly Mouse. Gilly, of course, had the country Polka Tears.
Oh, sure. That's another one. Yep.
Yeah, and country Polka Tears. Gilly, his death anniversary was just on Friday on the 12th. It's 9 years now since Gilly left us.
And
boy, that was the end of the country Polka Tears because he was the heart and soul. But those two, man, they sang nice too, harmonized nice as well.
Yes, they did.
You bet. Yeah. Well, Mary Lou, if we can ask you to hold that thought for just a moment. We've reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota. Time to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market, and then we'll come back with you and continue the conversation.
Thank you.
All righty. So, Cy here for the St. Joe Meat Market. Did you know that the St. Joe Meat Market still grinds hamburger fresh daily several times a day, and even more oftener on the busier weekend days? You will understand how important this is if you ever buy burger at one of those big box supermarkets, open the package and find that pool of blood on the bottom of the package or that soggy, soaked up diaper in the bottom of the package. This is because they grind it so far in advance, causing it to have an odor and an off taste. Come into the St. Joe Meat Market this week and treat your family to some fresh ground beef. The brat of the week this week is our smoked pineapple brats. The smoked pineapple brat is another of the many great flavored brats made for you at the St. Joe Meat Market. I like them for breakfast with a fried egg, some hash browns, a piece of toast, and a glass of orange juice. After a breakfast like this, you are set for the whole day. Come in and try some for yourself this week. You can take 30 cents off each package at the checkout counter all week long on limited quantities. And cooking and serving at the brat sale out in front of the St. Joe Meat Market this weekend is the St. Joe Men's Knights of Columbus. Come out on Friday and Saturday, show your support for a great organization while enjoying a brat or a burger and fries and a beverage. The Knights do so much for our community and deserve our support. And the Knights will also be demoing those delicious smoked pineapple brats, so you will have an opportunity to sample for free. As always, for more in-store specials at the St. Joe Meat Market, like us on Facebook, look for us on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com, or you can call 320-363-4913 for more information. And thank you from the gang at the St. Joe Meat Market. And Mary Lou for being our guest on the program. This is how it works. We put up a nice package at the meat market there, a little sampler package of some of the different things we make there for you. It's all smoked meats. Send it out to you priority mail and should arrive in a day's time or so. And hope that you and the family around you enjoy it in good health. How does that sound?
That sounds great. I'll be happy to accept it.
All right. Well, very good. So getting back to the music we were talking about, must have been some wonderful experiences playing as you did. Did you guys play mostly in Minnesota or did you travel a lot?
For our first 2 years, I believe we played mostly in Minnesota. Also in Wisconsin, we got hired for Pulaski Polka Days.
Oh, yeah.
I believe we played 15 years straight. Played a lot of weddings for the Marashik brothers out of Pulaski, Wisconsin. And then we started to travel. Our first big festival was Frankenmuth Festival.
Oh, yes.
Got to tell you a little story about that.
Okay.
When we went there, you know, we were just greenhorns. We had small speakers because a lot of people didn't like loud music.
Sure.
So we're setting up on stage, and we played our first song, and the owner came running over, and he says, "You guys got to quit. You're not playing anymore." Billy said, "Why?" He says, "Nobody can hear you. You're not loud enough."
Oh, my goodness.
So we borrowed. The other band was set up at that time, you know, waiting to play.
Mm-hmm.
So we borrowed their big speakers, and we got hired for another 3 years after that. So that was our first, you know, experience with the big stage.
Oh, yes, and I can imagine the intensity that you must have felt when they tell you you have to quit, you have to go home. It's like, give us a chance.
We're going, what do we do? Not enough, I guess.
And I should remind the listeners that we're visiting with Mary Lou Cerniak, the wife of Bill Cerniak and Polka Soul. And Mary Lou, born and raised here in Elmdale, Minnesota, a native of Minnesota, and now making her home in Shoreview, Minnesota. So, talk about some of the fun places that you enjoyed playing over the years.
Like I said, we enjoyed playing the Frankenmuth Festival and Pulaski. And then, of course, we got to play Eddie Blazoinchik's festival out in Chicago, Illinois, his Bel Air days at the time.
Okay.
We played with Polka Soul, and then years later, the pool parties at the with the concertina club,
okay,
or concertina band. Mm-hmm. And my biggest one that I liked was Ocean Beach, Connecticut.
Oh, wow.
It was run by Dick Piller at the time. That's the first time people saw Billy and I doing the double concertinas. And I guess we were a big hit.
So that
was fun. That was 32 and a half hours of driving one way.
Oh, you drove out there instead of flying. You drove all the way. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. Well, we're winding down here, getting shorter on time. But I usually ask everyone before I let them go if there's a special memory, anything in particular that you'd want to share with the listeners as you look back over your career.
Yeah, there's a couple.
Okay.
When we were playing, Billy and I got to play at the Polish Wisconsin Dells. We got to sit in three sets with Frankie Yankovic.
Oh, my goodness.
And I believe it's the first time I played all the black keys because Frankie plays B-flat, E-flat.
Okay.
And then the next one, of course, was recording with Lenny Gamoka.
Yeah.
The Simply Polkamentary. And I have to take a shout-out to meeting Myron Florin and Bobby Burchess at the IPA convention because Lawrence Welk was being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's awesome. And we still
watch. Matter of fact, I met him in the elevator, and I had to escort them up to their room because they were running short on time and didn't know where to go.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we still watch the Lawrence Welk show on PBS, and boy.
Yep.
It is just so awesome. He was quite the gentleman, huh?
Yep, and they both were.
Yeah, you know, all of them,
Myron,
yes.
Myron Florin and Bobby Burchess.
So yes.
That was one of my highlights. And, of course, playing with Billy. There's nothing better than sitting down with your husband who plays concertina and sharing that love.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I want to take a shout-out to all of the people who played with Billy and I. I added them up, and there were 66 musicians over the years.
Over the years. Okay. And now, was that a change for you to go into Polish? Because up here in central Minnesota, we more of the Dutchman style in that.
We grew up listening to your radio station.
Sure.
We always milked the cows at 5 o'clock to Clive Vivoda's chore time.
There you go.
Dad says, hurry up and get the chores done. We can go to St. Anna to a polka dance.
Okay. And what was your impression of polka music, Polish-style polka music, when you first heard it?
I heard it out of the Jolly Brothers.
Okay.
My sisters came always from the cities, and my family were good friends with, like, John Filipczyk, Thomas, you know, et cetera. And it was kind of upbeat, and we just kind of... We thought it's a little faster pace, you know.
Sure.
But my heart still loves all the German, Polish, not German Polish, all the German music I grew up with. It's just, you know, makes your heart go flutter sometimes.
You bet. Well, you mentioned Jerry Schuft and Elmer Scheid and some of those bands. Did you guys get to share the stage with any of those guys over the years?
Oh, yeah.
You
and
did.
I believe it was Jerry Schuft. Was he the comedian of the bunch?
I think so.
Yep. I remember him and Billy. They used to go in the back of the stage and tell jokes.
Oh.
Yep. I met them all. Like I say, our Minnesota, our state, we had a lot of great musicians, and we still do.
You bet. And lots of great memories from them, you bet. Well, very good. Well, our time has about run out, Mary Lou, so we want to take this opportunity to thank you for being a guest on our program. And I tell each and every guest, the good Lord willing, you and I are here down the road sometime. We'll do it again. How is that?
You got it.
All right. And with that, we're going to wish you a good day. Thanks again. We'll talk to you soon, Mary Lou.
Thank you, Cy, and thank you, all you polka people out there. Have a great day.
All right, and I'll talk to you off the air as we let you go. All right.
Thank you.
There she goes. And that is Mary Lou Cerniak, our 298th guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. Don't go away. We've got music coming up by Bill Cerniak and Polka Soul and some of the other groups that Mary Lou has performed with.